I'm Taz Powers.
And I'm Paula Nunes.
And yeah. Richard Gage is our next guest, and we did not have the opportunity to get to him prior to the ConspiracyCon conference. However, his subject is so important that we've asked him to be with us today. Richard is AIA, is the founder of the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. He's been a practicing architect for 20 years and has worked on most types of building construction, including numerous fireproofed steel-framed buildings. And recently he has performed construction administration services for a new $120 million high school campus in the San Francisco Bay Area, including a $10 million steel-framed gymnasium. And he managed the construction documents phase of a large mixed-use urban project in Nevada for 1.2 million square feet of retail and 320K square feet of mid-rise office space, altogether about 1,200 tons of steel framing. Richard, you're really out there. You know what to do and what's going on in the high rises.
Well, Richard, we welcome you to begin. You know, we say thank you for being with us. And could you tell our listening audience how you become so interested in the 9/11 high-rise collapses?
Sure. It's great to be with you, Taz and Paula. Thank you for inviting me.
Welcome.
It's really important. Thanks. It's really important that our message get out to the American people because the mainstream media has not picked it up at all. They're terrified of it and or suppressing it. And it's very important that we have independent media like such as yourselves willing to pick it up. This is a We have 700 architects and engineers now demanding a new investigation of all three World Trade Center high-rise buildings on 9/11, the destruction of these buildings. And I became aware of this about 3 years ago when David Ray Griffin, a theologian and researcher of 9/11 issues, was on the radio here in Berkeley, KPFA. And I heard him talking about, for the first time ever in my life, since 9/11, any alternative theory about how these buildings came down. And so here he was talking about the ends of these beams dripping with molten metal as they were fired out of the, hurled out of the sides of the Twin Towers the morning of 9/11. The fact that there's no floors found at the bottom of either Twin Tower, the smoothness, evenness, explosiveness of the Twin Towers, and the near free fall collapse, these buildings were gone in about 12 seconds. So this just put it together for me. I mean, I was in shock the morning of 9/11. I wasn't thinking about, does that look like a gravitational collapse due to fire and jet plane impacts? No, I was in shock like everybody else and hadn't thought about it until I heard another alternative theory. And those who take the time and the willingness, have the willingness to look at this evidence, end up agreeing with us. Everywhere I go, I do a show of hands. Before and afterwards, we convert about 90% of the audience members to the theory, to believing and understanding the theory of explosive controlled demolition rather than fire-induced collapses.
Well, I know I looked at, I watched the buildings fall, and it looked like the demolition that you would see in Las Vegas when they were bringing down the casinos. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, and the reason it does is because it happens so fast and so it's just obviously engineered. We have a complete symmetry and explosiveness at the Twin Towers. The difference, and a very key difference, between a classic controlled demolition like we saw in the old hotels in Vegas is that they are an implosion. Everything's falling into the footprint. And this is what we see in Building 7, which is a 47-story skyscraper not hit by an airplane at all, but which falls at 5:20 in the afternoon into its own footprint in the exact manner of an explosive controlled demolition, an implosion. And whereas the Twin Towers were very explosive, where we have almost all of the debris is blown outside the footprint, with these 4 and 20 ton perimeter wall units being hurled 600 feet at 50 to 70 miles per hour instant ejection speed out of the sides of the Twin Towers. We also have a complete missing. There's no floors found at the bottom of either Twin Tower. There's 110 floors in each of these towers. Each of them are an acre in size. So we're looking for 220 acres of concrete flooring down at the bottom of either of the towers. And we don't find 20, we don't find 10, we don't find one floor, just a two-story pile of rubble with core columns, perimeter columns, and aluminum cladding. This is a huge problem for the official story, and it's like completely overlooked, denied, hidden. There's a lot of ways that people find even to protect themselves from the truth, and we confront them with that truth at the AIA conventions, the American Institute of Architects. We go to these conventions. We have sustaining members who help us get there, buy the booth space, and present to the architects on big screens. Building 7 coming down. Let's talk about that. And by the way, the architects see this. They go, oh, I didn't know about Building 7, the third worst structural failure in modern history. Really? Why didn't I know about this? Well, it's just not been shown on the mainstream media at all because it's so obviously a controlled demolition, and they really get it. This building collapses in just 6.5 seconds, Building 7, and it is a smooth, symmetrical, and free-fall acceleration. In other words, it's getting faster and faster straight down through the path of what was the greatest resistance, 40,000 tons of structural steel in its way. A building can't convert all of its gravitational potential energy into kinetic energy, motion, and do any other work. It's got to slow down if it's going to crush any steel, and it doesn't. Therefore, the columns had to have been removed. The only way to do that is explosively, and they have to be removed within a tenth of a second of each other on any given floor, or the building begins to tip. This is a 47-story skyscraper. It would easily have tipped in any kind of a gravitational collapse, as we've been told that this was.
And plus, common sense would tell you not every floor would just be powdered, or some pieces, large pieces of the flooring would still be in contact when it fell, I would think.
Yeah, even in the Twin Towers, where these floors collapsed, or were said to have collapsed, that we would have seen some of them down at the bottom. They were very high towers, so certainly there'd be a lot of broken up concrete, obviously. But it wouldn't be powdered to this fine talcum-like powder. It's like 100 microns, most of it. It's extremely fine. There's very few macroscopic chunks of concrete found down at the bottom of either tower, even though we had 90,000 tons of concrete. It's turned into this powder that has been sent across in these pyroclastic-like waves of very, very hot, expanding dust clouds with these gases, incredibly hot and expansive. And they have throughout Lower Manhattan, blanketing Lower Manhattan with 4 to 12 inches thick. And what's in all of this dust? Every sample that's been found has billions of iron-rich microspheres in it, originally found by physicist Dr. Stephen Jones, formerly from Brigham Young University. He and his team of scientists look at this, and they go, my God, well, how did these form? Well, they're spherical. The smaller than a human hair, most of them. Some of them are up to the size of a BB. And if you did have thousands of cutter charges going off throughout the columns and beams in these buildings, and under explosive conditions, the byproduct of thermite is molten iron, and it would it would atomize this liquid molten iron into these spheres, because that's what atomized liquid does in air. It surface tension forms itself into these spheres. That's the only way these spheres could have formed. In addition, they have within them the chemical signature of thermite, which is mostly being iron, and then there's oxygen, aluminum, sulfur, manganese, fluorine. Manganese and fluorine have no reason for being in a normal office fire or a jet fuel office fire either. So what could have produced what?
I was questioning. I mean, my goodness, the exact placement of this having to be in the exact area, I mean, to bring down everything. I mean, this was, talk about pre-programming. I mean, it took days probably or years to prepare for this.
Yeah, it would have taken many, many, many months at least. And so one question is, how could they have gotten access to these buildings? I mean, after all, they're the most highly secure buildings outside the Pentagon, really. In fact, Building 7 was the home of the IRS, the CIA, the Department of Defense, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and other agencies. It was extremely secure. You couldn't just walk into this building. You had to be escorted. I mean,
I question, I mean, is this inside the walls that this was placed? I mean, if not, you wonder if somebody wouldn't move things if it was in plain sight.
Well, in the case of the Twin Towers, if you had access through security and you could, you had access to the core, the hoistways, which are immediately adjacent to all of the core columns and beams in the Twin Towers, you could place explosives without anybody, any of the occupants, knowing. You know, there's 50,000 occupants. But if you had an excuse, like, say, an elevator modernization going on the 9 months prior to 9/11, which it was happening, Ace Elevator had the contract, you could have a convenient excuse. And in fact, in the morning of 9/11, 85 of these elevator modernization employees fled when the first plane impacted. They didn't stick around to help the firefighters. They were supposed to. So we want a real investigation. That was really quite a scandal, by the way, documented by USA Today about Ace Elevator employees. Architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth are not conspiracy theorists. We're pointing out the physical, forensic, science-based evidence found at the crime scene. A real investigation would get at, you know, how they might have gotten in to place these explosives. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the what else Dr. Jones and others found in this dust and is now in a peer-reviewed paper. These are chips of unignited thermite. Throughout all of the dust, they come up to the magnet. They have iron oxide in these chips, and there's some of them are about, well, the biggest one is about a 16th of an inch large, but there's hundreds and hundreds of them in each sample. And so what these chips are extremely interesting. They're composed of aluminum and iron oxide particles that are smaller than a human hair. Excuse me, 1,000 times smaller than a human hair. These are called nanoparticles. They're extremely sophisticated, made only in highly advanced Defense Department contracting laboratories. It's not made in a cave in Afghanistan, this stuff. So it's the smoking gun. Actually, they call it the loaded gun.
Now, who was in charge? Who managed the security in the Twin Towers?
Well, we have the electronic security managed by Securicom, Stratasec, other security by Kroll Associates. We would certainly want an investigation of all of them. There are some curious individuals who sit on the boards of those companies. So we definitely want a thorough investigation there, of course.
But how far are you and the group getting anyone to recognize there needs to be a further investigation?
Well, it's a slow uphill climb, that's for sure. This is very difficult information. It appears that many of our congressional representatives are less interested than they should be in this story of the century. And that leads us to believe that they need to be investigated as well, most of them.
We need an implosion. Passes the building.
Yeah, an information bomb. This is a grassroots movement. There are millions of people in the growing 9/11 truth movement, and people are assembling on the 11th of every month out on the streets of every major city across the country. It's not getting media attention, but I'm speaking every other weekend throughout the country. I've been throughout Europe, Canada, and before this year ends, I'll be in throughout Australia, New Zealand, and Japan as well, because the senator in Japan, Senator Fujita, is bringing us there to help his cause, which is to raise 9/11 truth issues in Japan. He has challenged the president of Japan publicly on these issues.
How is it that somebody in Japan would be interested to know what's happening here?
Well, the Twin Towers contained people from many, many nationalities. 17 people, in fact, were lost in Japan. Several Europeans and Canadians as well, Australians too. It was a very international mix of occupants in that building.
Whatever happened to the janitor that people were interviewing quite a bit a few years ago? That heard
well,
the explosion.
Yeah, William Rodriguez was one of the janitors, and he's been speaking all around the world actually about his story. He was a janitor who came to work that morning and heard explosions, felt explosions below the level where he was at in the basements prior to the airplane impact. So these explosions were corroborated by others, as well as the seismic evidence from the government's information from a nearby university. So these explosions are not a part of the official story. In fact, there are dozens and dozens of explosions throughout the World Trade Center, Twin Towers, and Building 7 prior to their collapse. The city has been trying to hide this information that the fire commissioner, Thomas von Essen, had recorded 500 of his first responders in the month after 9/11. And finally, the New York Times sued the city, won, and now we know why the city was hiding this information. Turns out that 118 of these first responders had heard sounds of explosions and seen flashes of light at and prior to the collapse of each of these buildings, the two Twin Towers. This is extraordinary information, and people can look at journalof911studies.com and review this excellent report by Graham McQueen on these 118 accounts. We give this information on our presentation, as we will be in Seattle this coming Saturday, well, June 27th, next Saturday, at 7 p.m. at the Seattle Town Hall. And it's also on our website, ae911truth.org. And people can hear all of these accounts on our DVD, which is also available. We have a two-hour DVD and called 9/11 Blueprint for Truth. And the other DVD that we have contains abridged versions, 10-minute, 30-minute, and 60-minute versions, along with physics analysis of the collapses by David Chandler.
Now, the witnesses that heard the explosions, have they been hushed? I mean, are they, you know, all of a sudden they're not around or not?
Oh, well, these are first responders, firefighters, policemen.
Mm-hmm.
They have been told not to talk about explosions or they will lose their job. There's numerous instances of this. It's really quite a problem. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of eyewitnesses, ear witnesses of explosions, and not one of them is in the official story, not the 9/11 Commission report, not the NIST report, not the FEMA report. We have some interesting documentation, actually, from the FEMA report, which helps us to understand what was going there. Entire Appendix C is devoted to the documentation of the melting of steel. Steel girders had been melted, and this does not happen in an office fire. They document intergranular melting, rapid oxidation, hot sulfur corrosion attacks, and evaporation of steel. This is something that just never has happened with normal office fires. This is Building 7 now. These two pieces of steel, which, by the way, are the only pieces of steel saved from Building 7. The 40,000 tons of steel was rapidly removed from Building 7 at 400 truckloads a day, because nobody was supposed to have died in that building. But the report comes out after all this steel is gone. The FEMA report comes out in May of 2002, after $600,000 of funding. They document, well, our best hypothesis, which is fire, bringing this building down, has only a low probability of occurrence. Further research, investigation, and analysis are required in order to resolve this issue. But all the steel was gone by that time, and they had ordered it gone. So this is just real indicative of a cover-up.
Well, before anybody started on the theory of 9/11, I had a question in my head. How often do you see something get cleaned up so quickly, so fast, as they did the towers? I mean, and Building 7. I mean, I couldn't believe how fast they got rid of all of that. And normally, in a governmental thing like this, it will take months and months to do a big job like this.
Yeah.
It was
800 truckloads a day in some cases were taken away from there, and under great secrecy. Each truck had a GPS system placed on it. It was a real problem. Even structural engineer Abul Hasan Astani from Berkeley had a National Science Foundation grant, and so he had access to the landfill where the steel was, and he documents also all of this melting of steel. But he just doesn't understand that fires don't melt steel. See, fires are only 1,200 to 1,600 degrees at their hottest, office fires. But steel doesn't begin to melt until 2,700 degrees, 2 to 3 times as hot as office fires are. We're missing that much energy to create all of this molten metal, seen by the first responders throughout, underneath Building 7, underneath the Twin Towers, all of this molten metal, they said, flowing like lava, dripping beams. The end of these beams would be dripping with molten steel. This had never been seen by first responders, firemen, others, cleanup workers. They had no idea what was causing all this. It kept the fires going for 3 months after 9/11. Well, thermite has its own source of oxygen. And they were creating a huge lake under there trying to put out all these fires. But these thermite will burn just as easily underwater because of the potassium permanganate within it, an oxidizer. So many tons of this molten metal was seen by the first responders, and there's no kind of accounting for it in the official story. In fact, they deny it. John Gross says there's no eyewitnesses who report it. Nobody's produced it. But our DVD is full of eyewitnesses and productions of it. It's seen pouring out of the South Tower, for instance, and they tell us that this has to be melted airplane. Well, melted aluminum looks silvery. It's not bright orange and yellow in daylight conditions at all.
Well, there are films, too. There were some films of the building and explosions coming out of the side, and all of a sudden all those films had disappeared. I think people only had seen it at a glance once or twice, and all of a sudden they weren't on television any longer.
Well, there are you referring to the Twin Towers?
They're
exploding out 20, 40, and even 60 stories down below this supposed gravitational collapse, which looked more like a huge mushroom cloud, a waterfall, an overflowing geometry of fireworks with upward, outward arching streamers up above, in a 1,200-foot diameter distribution of all of the debris. But down below, as you suggest, there are these squibs or mistimed explosions, perhaps. And they were told that, these are puffs of air being produced by this pile driver, which is driving the building down and pushing air down the hoistway, and it's got to come out somewhere, right? But these are not puffs of air. First of all, they're pulverized building materials, and they occur at the midpoint of the between the corners of the facade, and they're being ejected at 160 to 200 feet per second. We have the videos. The video analysis shows this. These are propelled by explosive speeds only, not puffs of air being shot out. And if they were being shot out, these puffs of air from the elevator hoistway entering this 60-foot open office planning, most of these offices were, that air would equalize its pressure in the room, and if it blew out any windows, it would blow out like all of them or most of them, right? Not these highly focalized, geometrically precise, pinpoint accurate, violent ejections that we see in the Twin Towers.
So when you show your DVDs and you speak in front of these, in front of other architects, do they come aboard and want to help try to find the truth, or they just kind of turn their head and say, c'est la vie?
Well, we get a lot of both. Unfortunately, I would expect everybody to have the same reaction that I did. Hey, if this happened, then the wool was pulled over our eyes, and this is the biggest conspiracy since I don't know when. Obviously, a whole lot of people had to have been involved, and if this happened, I mean, it could happen again. Let's all get really excited and angry that we didn't know about this before, and do something to make sure that it never happens again, and that we get a real investigation to find out exactly what really happened. So I would expect every architect to say, where's the PowerPoint presentation? I want to start giving presentations about this too. There's been a few people that have come forward, but by and large, even the people who sign our petition, 700 of them now and growing rapidly, they're kind of hoping that we'll do the work. Fortunately, they're helping to fund us. We need more funding to go to conventions, but we are able to support ourselves. I'm working full-time now with AE 911 Truth after the job I was working on in Berkeley, Nevada, through the firm in Berkeley. The developer went bankrupt, and 18 of us were laid off. Fortunately, because I was already at that point spending more time on this than I was on my job.
You know, I heard somewhere that there is a gold vault below one of those buildings.
Yeah, there was under the Twin Towers, and that a truck, empty truck, I guess it was half loaded or half unloaded or something with gold. It appears that there was a gold heist going on. Mm-hmm. During that morning, because there's other stories that confirm that. I haven't researched it very much. It's quite suspicious. Another object of investigation, obviously.
Thank goodness for your tenacity for weeding out the truth here and all the quagmire.
Yeah.
Is there, You know, I was going to say, you know, watching that building go down that morning, it was as if you were watching a Las Vegas Strip, you know, going down. And thank goodness that a lot of people's eyes have viewed a Las Vegas Strip when they were imploding the hotel before they were rebuilding. And that kind of thing, people had seen it. I mean, it's pretty obvious. It was just not a hit of a plane.
Well, building 7 too.
Yeah.
And they're very different. Building 7, again, is a classic implosion, and in 6.5 seconds, it is down like a house of cards, flattened. Every column and every beam almost had to have been cut in order for that building to collapse so completely, with all the structural steel members dismembered in order to have basically a small four-story haystack pile of floors and walls. It's been completely dismembered, and in order for that building to come down that fast, we're talking about 400 structural steel connections failing per second. That is a lot of work. That again, the gravitational energy, potential energy, can't account for, because all of it has been converted to motion. Because NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, responsible for explaining this building failure to us in November, agrees that, hey, it came down at free fall speed in the first 100 feet. But they don't acknowledge that that had to have implied that the columns had to have been removed. They previously implied this when they said that there would be no structure if it were free fall speed. But when we forced them into a corner into acknowledging that it was free fall speed, then they backed away from the implication of the free fall speed. So we've got them right where we need them, in a lie, basically.
Well, as we're talking today, my thought is, if they can pull this one off, if they want to have another war, an excuse for another war, or for more money to stay where they're at, Afghanistan or whatever, they can create another 9/11 somewhere else and get the public behind them.
Well, that's our greatest concern, because as the 9/11 truth movement gains momentum, they will be forced into creating yet another 9/11 type incident. These are called false flag attacks, where an attack is made on our own country and is blamed on another, so that we can go to war with them. And it turns out that every war we've been in has been started by such a false flag attack. Lusitania. Pearl Harbor was provoked upon the Japanese, and we knew that they were coming and had moved the best ships out of Pearl Harbor. The other ones sitting like sitting ducks. This is very well documented in Robert Stinnett's excellent book, Day of Deceit. But also Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin, now through declassified information, that instigating event never happened. There was no attack on our ship by North Vietnamese, and even the Northwoods project is unclassified now, where the Joint Chiefs of Staff brought to President Kennedy in the 1960s a plan to hijack, to stage a hijacked airplane or shot down airplane of ours by Cuba so that we could invade Cuba. President Kennedy turned that project down, and he was assassinated not long after that. These are called false flag attacks, and we're very concerned about the next one. I mean, it doesn't have to be another airplane. It could be a nuclear attack, as we've been warned against, a mm-hmm. biological attack.
I know we're being prompted here, being talked, you know, we're listening about Korea, North Korea. So that's like putting it in our head. And
yeah.
If one of these come about, something like this comes about, then people are going to forget 9/11 because something else came afterwards.
Yes. The other thing they can do is sabotage the 9/11 truth movement by blaming incidents on them, as they already have. This gentleman who shot somebody in a Holocaust museum, the first thing Glenn Beck does is say, well, I heard, I'm not sure, but I heard he's a 9/11 truther, you know. And clearly he wasn't. And this kind of thing is happening. Even President Obama is forced to acknowledge the groundswell of questioning of 9/11 in a recent speech in Cairo, where he says Al-Qaeda killed 3,000 people on 9/11. These are not questions to be debated. They're facts to be dealt with. So even he has to acknowledge the reality of the growing 9/11 truth movement. And Zbigniew Brzezinski also recently, who is his advisor, tied us to Holocaust deniers in a recent speech. So they're using everything against us, including anti-Semitism, which has no basis in reality in the 9/11 truth movement. I mean, the physics of 9/11 are not anti-Semitic. That's what we're talking about is physics here. Buildings cannot collapse at free fall acceleration and crush any steel. The columns have to be removed.
I wonder how much information is given to a new president who comes in. I mean, of course, he has his own eyes and ears, and he can see and figure things out. But I just wonder how much actual true information is passed on to a new president.
Yeah, and I can't tell you. I'm just an architect.
I know, but yeah, it's just like they come in with great ideas, and then all of a sudden they're just like any other politician we've had.
Yeah, same with the Congress people. I mean, there's been a couple of Congress people who have spoken up about 9/11 truth. Cynthia McKinney, when she was in office, was really quite an advocate, and she was driven out of office in fraudulent elections, which are documented. Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul have supported, to some extent, a new 9/11 investigation.
So I wonder if they're going to be pushed out of office because there's other things they're involved with that doesn't go along with the flow of the rest of the Congress.
Right. Yeah, they are. They are patriots, and patriots are few in number and attacked viciously these days.
Well, I mean, that's the reason why we have a program. We want people to wake up and know that there's more things happening other than what we hear on the news.
Yeah.
So thank goodness for people like you that are doing investigating, and I hope that your movement keeps growing.
Thank you.
Just to let people know, we're talking with Richard Gage, and he is the founder AIA, which is the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And you can hop on the website, which is ae911truth.org, and be able to check out what's going on there. And you will be speaking in this area, or where will you be speaking next?
We'll be in Seattle June 27th at 7 p.m. at the Seattle Town Hall. And then from there, we go to Washington, D.C., where we have another AIA conference to attend with a booth. And we will have... we'll be speaking to hundreds of architects. Again, they're giving thousands of DVDs away. And we would encourage all of your supporters, your listeners, to help us as well on our website by becoming sustaining members, joining the family of sustaining members to keep us going and to these conventions. It's the building professionals, the architects and the engineers, that are key to this, because we have massive credibility within the 9/11 truth movement because we have reached out and successfully woken up, if you will, architects and engineers by the hundreds because they immediately know that these are controlled demolitions after being presented the evidence. The hardest part of our job is getting them to actually look at it, because no one wants, you know, to look at another conspiracy theory. I mean, the first thought is, oh, this is a conspiracy theory. Get out of here. You know, we've got the story. It's all been told to us. That tells us how complete the control is of the government and media and our thought process, really. It's a finely crafted skill, and it is a problem for every American. And this is perhaps even a bigger problem than 9/11 cover-up itself. The degree to which we are so finely engineered into believing what we're told with the scantest of evidence, but with very effective engineering techniques of our minds by the media. After all, it's interesting. An interesting quote given to us by the former CIA director William Colby says that, or said before he was murdered, the CIA owns everyone of any significance in the mainstream media. What does that mean? And who is the CIA? They appear to be composed of individuals who don't have our interests in mind. Who's do they? Well, the media is, who sits on the board of directors of the media anyway? And 90% of the media is owned by four corporations. Who sits on the boards of those corporations? The same people who sit on the boards of the defense industry, the insurance industry, the banking industry, the oil industry. This web of interlocking board of directors those people are turn out to be intimately linked with the CIA as well. So,
yeah, I know.
It's very disturbing.
Clear Channel has some very interesting people on their board. And I'm always curious, because the George Norrie show, Coast to Coast, it's
yes.
Clear Channel. And
oh, he is.
Yeah, and he was.
We were just on Coast to Coast last week.
I know, I heard you. And
oh.
I was always curious, how does George get away with the information he's giving the people, and he's through Clear Channel. Well, it's actually, it's not directly Clear Channel, but they are affiliated with Clear Channel.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I was just curious in how, maybe it's because he has such a listener base that they can't try to control what he does.
Paula, I think the phones are ringing off the hook. There's one listener that would like to talk.
Okay.
And ask a question. Listener, go ahead.
Is that me?
Yes.
Yeah, I just heard your previous caller talking about Pearl Harbor and the Vietnam incident and et cetera, et cetera. And the whole thing is really greatly covered in a book called Vatican Assassins. And it pretty much covers the Vatican's hand in all of this and the Knights of Malta, which the founder of the CIA, Dulles, was a member of the Knights of Malta, and so was the captain of the ship in Vietnam, the captain of the ship in Cuba, remember the Maine, all that sort of thing. And it's really made history make sense. Well, after I read Vatican Assassins by Eric John Phelps, and it draws together all of these things, John Kennedy's assassination and the whole deal, in a pretty tight little ball, and shows the people at the top how they are puppets of the Vatican and the Black Pope, the Jesuit general, etc. And without having read that book, history really didn't make a whole lot of sense to me for many years, and I'm 60, and, you know, they tried to draft me to Vietnam. I told them no dice, and I, you know, after reading about, even Vietnam was a Catholic event, you know, the Archbishop of Hue was the brother of the American puppet president, And the facts in the Vatican Assassins book add up to a monumental explanation of why wars have happened all of these centuries. And I don't mean to, bash on Catholics, because I'm not talking about individual Catholic people, but the organization itself, and especially the Jesuits, need some looking into. I mean, how many of our justices are Catholic? Well, the majority.
Well, thank you, caller.
For justices. So
we're going to
the beat goes on, and it won't stop.
Thank you, caller. We need to go on.
Yeah.
Thank you for your suggestion.
Stay free.
Thank you.
So, Richard.
Yeah.
Were you surprised when you first started investigating all of this, how the media is controlled? I mean, did this open up your eyes?
Sure. The first question we ask is, how could I have not known about this? I mean, why? Where are the whistleblowers? You know, why haven't any of them come forward? Well, we don't know that they haven't come forward, first of all. We don't know that they're still alive, the people that planted these explosives. We don't know that they're Americans, if you will. We don't know anything. What we need is a real investigation that'll bring all of these unknown questions, how they might have gotten away with it. Clearly, there were many, numerous mistakes. It's left behind. The chemical evidence of explosives is all through the debris. And it's here this day. It's ready for a new investigation. It's just waiting for enough Americans to have enough courage to stand up and be counted and speak out. And to the extent that we don't do that, we deserve what we have coming.
And if somebody wants to contribute or join your organization, they can just do that by going on the Internet?
Yeah, the website is ae911truth.org. Stands for Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. You can sign our petition. Anybody can sign the petition, including, of course, architects and engineers, where we categorize and count them, but others as well. And you can become a sustaining member as well on the right.
Paul, we have another caller.
Okay.
Okay, caller.
Yes, hi, thank you. My question was, if all of this was propagated by the government and corrupt individuals, why didn't they take out half of New York City, or take out San Francisco, and take out Orlando, and take out a lot of other cities when they had the chance?
Who knows? Maybe they didn't want to destroy Wall Street altogether. Maybe they just wanted a spectacular event to scare the people into supporting the invasions of two countries, really, one of which we know is based on a pack of lies, Iraq, the Iraq invasion, and the other one of Afghanistan. When you really start to look at it, you start to understand what their motivation there was, if it wasn't Osama bin Laden, whom there has been no real focused effort to apprehend. But it turns out that the heroin trade.
Why is Obama sending 30,000 troops to Afghanistan instead of actually helping people here or helping investigations with studies like this?
Good question.
Great question. I support a real answer to that question. But what are we doing in Afghanistan? Those who look at Afghanistan for motivations on the part of the Obama, the Bush administration, at least, look at the opium trade before the Taliban came into power. The opium trade was at 187 metric tons, according to UN statistics. After we invade Afghanistan and kick out the Taliban, it skyrockets to 3,500 metric tons, like 10, 12, I don't know how many times more. Huge. And today it's 6,700 metric tons, double that. So there's an incredible resurgence of opium production, and it's under our watch. That's a real problem. It needs a real investigation, of course. Also, we have the natural gas pipeline.
Their attacks since 9/11, though, because wouldn't it be convenient for them to attack, right away, or especially, when the new president was transitioning into office or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, that makes some sense. Maybe we were warned by Joseph Biden, vice president, that Obama would be tested within the first 6 months with a major 9/11 type attack. I don't know how he gets this information, but it's of concern to all of us, of course. I'm not
a lot of the peacemakers say this and that in different administrations, but then, you know, it's like when people that believe something different, like people in Waco, Texas, and, you know, 80 men, women, and children were slaughtered, and it got swept under the rug. There's things that just get swept under the rug all the time. It seems kind of ridiculous.
Well, we
need to
speak up more, so I don't know.
Thank you, caller.
Like Richard, like you said, if we don't speak up, they'll just do more and more of it.
That's right. We have to be writing to letters to the editor. We have to be calling into talk shows and major mainstream talk shows as well, writing to the news reporters and our congressmen. It just takes a massive upswelling of people, and that's what's beginning, but it's obviously slow and it's frustrating.
If you write an article, you probably have had experience doing this, to an editor of a controlled type media, does it get printed?
Sometimes they do. They have to. If they get 1,000 letters on one subject, they have to print at least one of them. Yeah.
So that, I guess it's by volume that works.
Yeah.
Because if just one of us writes our local paper and they only get one letter, they probably wouldn't print it. So there needs to be more than one person.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Richard, is there a chance that you know, one of the callers called in and asked if you knew Dr. Stephen Jones?
Yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say he's a collision of scientists, and he's talked about, the oxidized metal that was highly flammable.
Well, what he documents and his team of scientists is very interesting. In all of the dust samples throughout Lower Manhattan, we have these small chips of partially ignited and unignited nanothermite, extremely sophisticated stuff with these 1,000 times smaller than a human hair, 100 nanometers particle size of aluminum and iron oxide and manganese, etc. It's a huge problem for the official story, finding these extremely high-tech explosives throughout all of the dust in Lower Manhattan. Some samples collected on the Brooklyn Bridge just 10 minutes after the collapse of these buildings, some on the high-rise building 2 to 3 blocks away from the apartment building, dust just right across from the South Tower. This is damning evidence, not to mention all the iron-rich microspheres throughout all the dust that he's also documented. Now, he's speaking throughout the country as well, and Dr. Niels Harrit in Holland is, I hope it's Holland. I get those countries mixed up. Anyway, he's speaking as well around the world.
Well, you know, this, what you're saying, that could have brought down the towers, and this could, our government could have had their hands clean. It could have been another government that actually did all of this.
Yeah, we don't know all of the details. We need a real investigation. It appears that there may have been foreign governments involved as well. So once you start looking at the behavior of our government officials, they become extremely suspect, and I would refer your listeners to the works of David Ray Griffin, Dr. David Ray Griffin, 9/11 researcher. He's written 8 books now. One of them is called New Pearl Harbor Revisited, and it is very excellent. I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Hey, were you going to talk about New Pearl Harbor Revisited, what he said in the book? Or?
Right, yeah. I forget what it was that he said that I was going to say. We'll come back to it.
So there's more than just your group, it sounds like. There's other people that are. Now, Dr. Griffin, did he join your group, or are they going on their separate little?
Well, we all support each other. We've spoken at the same events, and he's indeed a member, a petition signer of ours. And he's now helped Senator Fujita from Japan put together political leaders for 9/11 Truth. There are numerous supporting organizations. That is one of them, and they have major political leaders. The Defense Department, the Defense Minister formerly from Germany, Andreas von Bülow, and Paul Hellyer, Defense Minister from Canada, former, and the former President of Italy. All these are people are calling for a new investigation, along with the first responders and families of victims from 9/11 have formed organizations which are very powerful in their demand for a new investigation, and they're very supportive of us.
I would think the families getting together and demanding a new investigation would be a big voice.
It is a huge voice. It's an emotionally packed voice that carries a lot more weight than architects and engineers. And when they speak, people really do listen. There's an incredible movie out, a DVD called Press for Truth, and it carries the weight of the Jersey girls, the four Jersey widows, who single-handedly forced the Bush administration to have the 9/11 Commission, which they were resisting for 400 days. They resisted this, and finally they just had to do it because of this story, an incredible story of these girls, all of whom are supporting us, by the way.
It would be very powerful to have the two of you speak at a convention. I mean, you with all your evidence and them with their emotion behind it. I would think that would be really powerful.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that. So we would like to thank you today for being with us, and you can give out your information again so people can write it down.
You betcha. Okay. Our DVD is 9/11 Blueprint for Truth, and it is available at our website, ae911truth.org, and you can sign our petition, become a sustaining member, and review all of the evidence on the website, and help us get the word out. Do something. Write people. Talk to everybody you know. Loan them the DVD. And thanks again, Paula and
Tad.
I really appreciate it.
Now, if you know anybody out there who knows a real conservative engineer or a real conservative architect, be sure to let them know about Richard's DVDs.
Yeah, any architect and engineer, send it to the link, ae911truth.org, the link to every architect and engineer you can find, and really everybody else that you know, because this is a really good information. It's well put together on this website.
Richard, thank you for all the energy that you've put into this, and, you know, it's good to see that people have put one foot in front of the other to get this information out, and it's not easy, we know.
We'll have to call Richard the truth seeker.
Yes.
Indeed. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you for being with us. I know that you're really busy and have busy days, so we thank you for letting us take up your time, and we thank you for sharing this with all our listening audience.
It's an honor to be with you, Paula and Taz. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Richard's website address is ae911truth.org.
And his last name is Gage, Richard Gage.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you.
Okay, and head to our website, TazandPaulaShow.com, where you'll be able to pick up the podcast afterward if you were unable to listen, and share it with others as well.
We should have it on our podcast archives in a day or two, so
yes,
be sure to hop on.
That's Taz, T-A-Z-Z, and is spelled out, so it's TazandPaulaShow.com.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. I'm Taz Powers.
And I'm Paula Nunes. Have a great day.